First Timothy in chapter number 5. We're going to look at tonight. We're going to wrap this month up. Our theme, of course, is hospitality. And we're especially praying for and focusing on being a blessing towards the widows in our church. As a reminder, if anyone would like those addresses and things of some of the widows in our church that you can pray for, send cards to, I have that on me. Brother Salih, I believe, has one on him. And Ms. Salih and Xias, we will give this to you tonight, have them with us. And it will be a great blessing to do so if you can. I'm going to preach tonight and look at tonight and next week widows and what the Bible says. We're going to look next Sunday night at our responsibility. I can't obviously cover everything, but and our responsibility towards widows and what we as a church can do to be a blessing. Tonight, I'm going to look at the responsibility of the widow, what their responsibility is. You know, I don't know why the Lord leads us to preach messages like this. This is another one of his messages I've never heard anyone ever preach on. You know, if it's in the Word of God, we probably ought to know what it's saying and talk about and understand it. And I think it's one of the reasons why we find ourselves falling short of what the Lord would have us do many times, because we just don't take the time to study things and what the Word of God says. Now, you know, before we get into anything, don't let if you're here tonight and you're a widow tonight, don't allow that term to make you sneer. Look at verse number 3. It is a term of honor. It is a term of honor. And I want us to look at this tonight. And if you're able to, let's stand as we read these verses. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in verse number 3. It says this: honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she had brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she has washed the servants' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also in busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Now I want to go ahead and read verse number 17 to point out a point in a second. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox, and treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Father, I pray you take the message tonight. I pray that you teach us your word. Help us to have an understanding of, Lord, your word tonight and our responsibilities. And Lord, I pray that you would prepare us for days ahead. And Lord, help us to be a biblical church that, Lord, does even these matters that many churches are being pushed aside and ignored. May we not be that kind of people. May we take this serious tonight. And Lord, may we just know what the Word of God says and practice it in the days ahead. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. It's not going to be a message where you're going to run up and down the aisles and jumping on pews. I don't think. You never know, though. It's going to be looking just at what the Word of God says here about the responsibility of the widow. I believe when we studied this passage of Scripture, number one, as introduction, I guess, that it is very clear that families should take care of the widows in their own family. It's very clear there. In other words, should the day come that my father or Stacy's father would pass away, that we would have a responsibility to watch care and to take care and to provide for the widows in our family. That is our biblical responsibility to allow that. And I want to say this, I'm not dissing part of the message, but those widows should allow their children to help take care of them. The what are the needs? You know, for, we always just think money. Well, that's part of it, but that's not taking care of all the needs. There are spiritual needs. That is the number one thing. As a family should take care of the spiritual needs of their widow that's within their family, because they will need spiritual help. It's a difficult time. It's hard. And they need that. They need that spiritual help. They need that emotional stability. They need that strength. They need just that physical help around the house and things that need to be done. And of course, the finances are part of that too. But that is the responsibility foremost of the family. That is something that should be done by the family. You see it here in verse number 4. If any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, and that is good and acceptable. Now that verse goes, it's a two-way street. What that verse is saying is that for children, and that word nephews, in the Old English, the word nephew is used for grandchildren. If you want to read Shakespeare and Othello, it will use the word nephew for grandchildren, right? But there's just a common phrase. But what it means is basically, if your family, if you're a son or a daughter, you're a grandson, a granddaughter, wherever you find yourself, you should take this seriously and seek to take care of the needs that are there. And the two-way street is this: the widow should let them do that. Let them have this part. A lot of times what happens in the life of widows is they think, well, I don't need that help. You know, and sometimes we focus just on the financial and we think, well, I'm taken care of. Well, amen for that husband that was able to do that, but there are other needs. In the Bible, it doesn't make mistakes. It knows those needs need to be met. And so we need to allow that. Now, the Bible says here in verse number 5, it needs to be a widow indeed. Or it says there, in desolate, trusteth in God and continueth in supplications, prayer, night and day. The widow indeed, that's, the Bible describes it here in this passage of Scripture. Someone, if they're under the age of 60, the Bible says to wait on just stepping in. Because probably what will happen, and is even encouraged in this passage of Scripture, is that the younger would remarry. And there's nothing wrong with remarriage. When the spouse has died, there's nothing wrong with remarriage. I'll say this since we're here and just because it's right. If there's been a divorce, I don't think there should be a remarriage. Because the Bible says that you should stay single. You say, well, you know, that's harsh. Well, that's what the Bible teaches. It even puts on there that those who just go out and do that, it's adultery in the eyes of God, because it's God's will that you stay married. And you say, well, God expects me to stay single the rest of my life. God expected your marriage to work out. That's what God expected. You say, well, what happens if someone does get remarried? It's not the message, and we're not going to go down this whole big path, but I believe that that person can seek forgiveness. They shouldn't get unmarried. And, you say, well, that's kind of weird, but remember the Lord when he spoke to the woman at the well, he didn't condone her sin, but he said that she had had multiple husbands. So he recognized the marriages. He didn't agree with them, but they had made a vow. She had broken them. And it doesn't make it right. That's the whole point. She needed to get right. Can people go on and serve the Lord? Absolutely, yes. Yes, yes, yes. But one of the things that we're trying to ignore in our churches today is the fact that, well, they should get right about it. Well, they should get right. And those who are thinking about getting married shouldn't. I know my popularity vote went way down tonight, but that's what the Bible teaches. And so, you know, I hate it too. I hate it. But that's why, young people, it's important you marry the one God wants you to marry. And you wait and you don't go down this path. We've taken marriage so lightly we don't even think about it anymore. The widow that the Bible says here, if they're younger than 60, then, you know, let them, you know, remarry. Now, if they're older and there is no family. Now, I was thinking about this. I've been doing a lot of thinking on this passage of Scripture. A lot this week. I've talked to Russ Lee a couple times, pulled him in and said, I got to talk to you about this, all right? There's a lot in this passage of Scripture. You know, what about, you know, if there is no family? He said, well, there are. And we all know this happens sometimes, that the family just doesn't do what they're supposed to do. Well, be warned, because the Bible says that that person, verse number 8, who doesn't provide for their own, especially for those of their own house. Now, you know why that's there? Because this is applying to two things. I want you to see this. Verse number 8 is saying, those people who have their own family they're not providing for are worse than an infidel. They have denied the faith. You know what the Bible says? That's what the Bible says. But look what it says first. But if any provide not for his own, especially those. So who's that first part talking about? Especially if they're in your family, you should take care of them. If you don't, you're worse than infidel. Who else is the Bible referring to? The church. If we don't provide for our own, we're worse than an infidel. In action. That's what the verse is saying. That if we don't provide for our own, especially those of your own house. Do you understand what I'm saying? Simple illustration, right? My father passes away. If I do not take care of the needs, the spiritual, and again, I can't meet everything, but I would do my best to meet the spiritual, physical, emotional, financial needs that my mother would have as a widow. And if I'm just ignoring her and letting her out, go out there and just try to flounder and work through everything, the Bible says I'm worse than an infidel in the eyes of God. Now, if for some reason I am out of this picture, and my sisters are out of this picture, and my children are no place to be able to do this at that stage in their life, and the church doesn't step in and do that, then the church is held chargeable too. Now, first of all, family should do that. But then I thought about this. I haven't even discussed this personally, and I don't even know where to go with this. All right, so I'll just say it to make you think. All right, you can think with me. All right, believe we don't know it all. All right, we're still all trying to figure this out. Amen. If you know it all, please sit down and share it all with me. All right, You know, I started to think, and, you know, and my mind just went here with this. Remember when Jesus was dying on the cross? He took his mother and left her under the charge of who? Now, he had brothers. But those brothers at that time in their life could not meet the needs that Mary had. They were not saved. They were mocking Jesus. They did not have the faith. So that responsibility shifted from the family. Not that they didn't have a part. They should still. But that spiritual, that emotional, these other needs, the Lord said, John, a member of the church, this is your responsibility. So we may have widows that yes, they still have family. But my question is, are there spiritual, emotional, are these other needs being met by their family? Jesus never sit there and talk bad about his brothers. He never tore down her sons. But he recognized that there was a need there. And I believe with all my heart
that testimony and John's love for Mary and what he did for her had a part in leading towards Jesus' brothers getting saved. Because they would later. Something got their attention. And the Lord resurrected, and obviously they saw this and put things together. But there was a reason why Jesus did this. So understand the message tonight, and next week especially, we do have a responsibility here. We can't just keep trying to push all this under the rug and not have any part with it. We need to embrace our God-given responsibility. We must accept this and find it in the Word of God. We've been charged to do this. And so someone who doesn't take care of the widows, the Bible gives a stern warning against them. But then, before we get into the message, not only are they to take care of these needs, but if there are financial needs, the church is to help meet the financial needs of the widows indeed. Now, again, look at verse number 3. Read it aloud with me. Ready? What's it say? Ready? Read it aloud. Honor widows that are widows indeed. Now, that word honor means respect, but it also means to put a price and to a financial responsibility. If you don't believe that, then look where we ended up reading, verse number 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double what? Especially those who labor in word and doctrine, for the Scripture saith. This verse is backing up what was just said. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. The laborer is worthy of his reward. Should a church take care of the needs of the pastor? Yes. Same word. Should the church help take care of the needs of the widow? That's what it says. You can dissect those words. You can dive into them all you want to. That's what it says. You say every bill that they have. If there are needs, the church should be willing to step up and do that. More than that, now back to the widows. The widows who were widows indeed, who were counted among its number. What that means is that they were being supported with some church numbers. Our finances, they had a responsibility to be involved more at the church. In verse number 4, it says, let them learn first show piety at home and to requite the parents as good and acceptable. Verse number 5, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. This lady is to do more things and be counted very active in the service of the Lord when the church is doing more to take care of her. Say, no, why is God doing this? Let's take reality and let's try to apply all this. If they had a widow and there wasn't a family who could spiritually, financially, emotionally help there, most of the time that widow ends up sitting at home staring at walls, having a hard time getting victory. God says that widow who doesn't have all that support from family, who's going to help get through that, the church should step up and that widow should get to church and be active outside the walls. Even if you're just washing a wall, doing laundry, or sitting on a toy and praying, but get active. I know, weird sermon, but that's what the Word of God says. And imagine the difference that it would make if we just did what God said. Here's the best way to do this. You know what? We're really dropping the ball in a lot of different places. I'm not saying because that about the symbol. I'm saying Christendom, all right? We've dropped the ball. And we're not doing what God simply told us to do. Now next Sunday, Lord willing, we're going to look at our responsibility. Tonight, I want to see what the widow's responsibility. What should the widow be doing?
And I want to make the statement, then we'll do the message and be real quick, right? It's not as much as what the widow is supposed to be doing, but it's what the widow has done. And what I'm saying is this. Every lady in this church should strive to be doing successfully the things that we will talk about tonight. And preparing for if that day should come. Every lady should follow this pattern in Scripture here. In possible preparation for this. Now look at it with me real quick. Number one, we are to look at the widow's heart. Verse number 10 is where we get most of these points. Verse number 10. Again, verse number 9 says, let not the widow be taken in number and a 80 years old. Again, having been the wife of one man, if they're under 60, or if they've already been married multiple times, and I think that clause is in there because, and again, I'm not talking about divorce, especially in those days. Men had a tendency not to live very long, all right, and just working in life, all right. So there's a good chance by the age of 60, a lady had been married a couple of times, and all biblical, all right, but she would have a much larger pool of family that should have support from. Any person not falling in that category who's younger than that, the Bible says they won't be able just to come to church and do laundry. And I'm using that term. Don't take that's what I'm saying, right? But coming to church and just doing these things to be in the service of the Lord, to be out, they're going to want to get involved in people's lives a whole lot more. Being younger, they're going to want to go and sit down and talk to Sister So-and-so. And if you're not careful, then they become tattlers and busybodies. And that's what the Bible says. Don't look at me weird, all right? Verse 13, all right? That's what's being warned against, all right? If they're younger, there's a tendency to that, all right? The younger ones, verse number 11, the younger ones you need to refuse. They're not bringing up brought into this number, all right? Because it says when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, that doesn't mean they hate Christ. Wax wanton means that they desire a relationship with a man. So that's what the word wax wanton means. So a younger woman will probably have a desire to get remarried. And if you do just bring them in, they're going to get idle, verse number 13. They're going to start wandering from house to house. They're going to be tattlers, busybodies, speaking things that they just shouldn't say. All right. So what does Paul say? The younger one, verse number 14, should probably remarry. All right. Bear children and guide the house. All right. So the devil doesn't have a chance here to get into it. Isn't it amazing how clear the word of God is when we look at it? All right. It's just here. All right. But anyways, verse number 15, some have already turned aside after Satan. In other words, some have gone down the wrong path and Paul talks about them at another point. But in any case, we are to take care. So first thing we do, verse number 10, we should look at her heart. It says, for well reported of, for good works. The first thing we should ask in considering if someone should be a widow indeed is what reputation does she have? What type of life is she living and has she lived? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 16, we'll look at that real quick. Matthew 5, 16, I don't want to misquote it. Matthew chapter number 5, we'll go right back. Matthew chapter number 5, and I'll do my best to keep going here. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 16, says simply this, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Your light so shine that they may see your good works. Now back to 1 Timothy chapter number 5. She is to be well reported of for good works. This lady should have a reputation of good works. It's more than intentions. She has lived the life that shows and proves that she loves the Lord. Now, again, I say that, yes, the widow, it's not so much as what she's doing, but what has she done? This is why this is important. Hey, young people. You live your life and sow your the oats and your wild oats and then live in your flesh and then just times of irreverence and time of living a blasphemous life and living an ungodly life and constantly just showing yourself and being carnal, and then someday that husband passes away,
the church is to take very much caution and just diving right in there and helping take care of all of your needs. And for what reason? I think a lot of what we talked about this morning in church. Because if someone hasn't lived a life that just expresses, I love God, well, they're probably not going to be much better in their older age either. That's what it's saying. Look at her heart. Look at her home in verse number 10. If she had brought up children. She had brought up children. We're to look at her heart and look at her home. I want to point this out. And you can dive and tear apart all these words and study the Greek and whatever else you want to study. It in no way alludes that if her children's not been raised to be pastors or missionaries, or even if, it's just not in the scriptures, even if her children aren't even in church. It doesn't say it. It just says if she's brought up children. What that means is she's been a good mom. Children may have totally done the opposite. She was a good mom. She brought up her children. We're to honor that lady. Honor that lady. We're to praise her. She has done that. Look over to the right, just a couple of pages in Titus in chapter number 2. Read this to my Sunday school class. My Sunday school class started, when we first started this morning, it was me and Jerrica and Jalen sitting in there. I thought, boy, the Lord must want you two to really hear something, all right? So then Jake walked in, so it was, they were a little relieved, right? But we talked a little bit about this in our Sunday school this morning, the four of us. What does it mean that she brought up children? It means this simply, that her home was her priority. That means she didn't work outside the home ever, but her home was her priority. In Titus chapter number 2, this is exactly what this is talking about. The aged women are supposed to be teaching these things, verse number 3. Verse number 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, but that the word of God be not blasphemed. You know, if the lady has lived her life to where she's not taking care of the home, and she has not obeyed the husband, she's not shown love to her children, she has not been sober, she has not been discreet, she's not been good and obedient, then the Bible says take caution. Take caution. So we have to look at the heart, look at her home. Number 3, look at her hospitality. Back in verse number 10 of chapter number 5, it says if she has brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she has shown hospitality. If she's shown that, if she's, you know, opened her door, showed love to strangers, she's shown God love to others, then we should show that same love to her. See, the widow is someone who deserves honor and respect. Amen. But to our young ladies tonight and our ladies that are raising their families and to our widows indeed tonight, you still have a responsibility to be doing, to be faithful, to show hospitality now. Find ways to do this. God says it's important. We're to look at her humility in verse number 10. If she hath washed the saints' feet. Again, that's not an ordinance, all right? It's simply a custom. They would wear their sandals. They would walk all day on dirt roads. Their feet would become filthy. When they walked into the house, the lady of the house would always take and set a basin of water. And would be willing to wash the feet. It's a sign of humility. Now, we don't have that custom today. And all God's people said amen. All right? You know, I'm glad you don't have to wash my feet. You don't have to wash yours. All right? But it did show great humility. Men have a problem with pride. We just are. And so do ladies. So do ladies. Well, you men amen me when I said men. Yeah, all right, yeah. Got awful quiet when I mentioned the ladies. Yeah, all right, yeah.
You're either smart or impact. I don't know which one you are, right? But ladies, don't be filled with pride. You know, when the Lord walked into the upper room, did you know it had been custom at the time that whoever was the master of that house, and we know that they borrowed that room, that he left the stuff there to wash the feet. Can I just give you this thought? 12 disciples walked past that stuff and didn't do anything. But the Lord took it, and he showed humility. In the book of Luke, in chapter number 7, Jesus was in a Pharisee's house. Look at this verse. This is because it's perfect what I'm saying. Look over in Luke chapter number 7. Can't go wrong looking at the Bible, amen? Luke chapter number 7. Plus, you can't get mad at me when you read it, all right? Luke chapter number 7, verse number 44. Luke 7, 44. It says, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. This lady showed great humility. But at the same time, Jesus looked at this Pharisee and Simon and said, you didn't do it. The widow is someone who should have shown with her life, and ladies, all ladies, should be showing with your lives humility. In other words, you say, what is that? You don't run away from the little jobs. You don't just expect someone else to do it. You're willing to do whatever needs to be done. You know, I was excited last Sunday night when we went next door. You know, all them young people, they jumped in there last week. That was awesome, right? Miss Campbell, Miss Truett walked up to me and said, this is great, all right? And they were all excited, all right? And the young people went on, and then someone said this as they were walking out, and I just want to share it to challenge your young people. This adult, who I'll let remain nameless, all right, said, that was great. We'll see how long it lasts. I'm not putting down the adult. All right, young people. See how long it lasts. Show humility. All of us have to watch for pride. We're to look at, I use the alliteration word, look at humanitarianism. Look in verse number 10 again. It says that she had relieved the afflicted. Relieved the afflicted. In other words, she's seen other people who were having difficulties. She was willing to help them. She was willing to help others overcome their obstacles in life. We should be willing to help them overcome theirs. I like giving these biblical examples. I hope you're patient with me. Turn over to 1 Kings in chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. Almost done. Only one more point. 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings 17 and in verse number 8. Passage recently preached on, spoken of here in church. 1 Kings 17, verse 8. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. So she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, because the word of the Lord, which was spake by Elijah. So what did this widow do? She was willing to give what she had to help others. And God saw to it that her needs were met too. A widow indeed is someone who has lived their life, and their testimony is just, if she saw someone had a need, She did what she could. If she did what she could, we should do what we should. And then we're to look at her helpfulness. We're done. Verse number 10, back in 1 Timothy 5. If she had diligently followed every good work. If she, as we said this morning, her life is one that she consistently did what was right. Again, it's not so much as what she was doing, but what she had done. The widows in our church, I honor them tonight. Because I look at these verses and I say, praise the Lord for our widows in our church. And to those widows, I say, your church loves you. And please allow us to just try to pay back what you have done. And whatever we need to do, church, we ought to be willing to do. By God's grace, next week we'll look at just what the Bible says our responsibilities are.